Would you take your Bibles and turn to Psalm 78 tonight? And we're going to continue our series that we've been doing on Can God Furnish a Table in the Wilderness? And my purpose in this series has been to encourage you that in the times in which we live, and there seems to be so many problems, and there are problems upon problems upon problems, that we not get discouraged, but realize that God is an expert at furnishing tables in the wilderness. And I'm going to give you a few examples tonight. But I want to read again these verses, beginning at verse, let's start at verse 17. And they sinned yet more against Him by provoking the Most High in the wilderness, and they tempted God in their heart by asking meat for their lust. Yea, they spake against God. They said, Can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Behold, He smote the rock that the waters gushed out, and the streams overflowed. Can He give bread also? Can He provide flesh for His people? Therefore the Lord heard this and was wroth. So a fire was kindled against Jacob, and anger also came up against Israel. Why? You need to underline this, highlight it in verse 32, because this is the whole point. Because they believed not in God. Not the fact that they just didn't believe that God was able to do it, but they believed not in Him. There's a big difference, folks, between believing that there's a God and believing in Him. The difference is heaven and hell. There are a lot of people that believe in God. And when they die, if they have not trusted in His Son, Jesus Christ, they'll go to devil's hell. The Bible says that the devils believe and tremble. Are they going to be in heaven? No. The point is this. The children of Israel, God's chosen people, did not believe in God. They had other things. They limited God. Their God was small enough they could put Him inside their little pocket, or in their case, a phylactery that they would have been wearing, a little pouch or whatever. Their God was small. Can God furnish a table in the wilderness? He proved it to them that He could. But I want to go back to an earlier time where God furnished a table in the wilderness. And it was for an unlikely person, Hagar. In Genesis chapter 16, we're told that Sarah was very angry whenever Hagar, it was told that she was pregnant with a child. Now remember, who suggested Hagar for Abraham? Sarah did, all right? And then when she gets pregnant, what does Sarah do? I hate her. I want her out of here. So Abraham provided Hagar and her son with water, and they went out, and they journeyed out into the wilderness of Shur, we're told. And there, she actually had fled. Excuse me, I'm mixing up the two stories, because Genesis 21 says Abraham gave her meat and water to go into the wilderness. But in Genesis 16, she fled on her own. She ran away because Sarah was so mean to her. And an angel appeared unto her and said, go back to your mistress. You go back to her and you serve her, because I'm going to make a great nation out of your son. So she returned. The Bible records that on that first visit, she went to the wilderness of Shur, where there was a fountain. She was taken care of. In Genesis 21, Isaac has been born. He's now weaned, the Bible says, so probably somewhere between 3 and 4 years of age. And she sees Isaac out, and he's playing with Ishmael. And she watches the interaction between the two, and she sees what she thinks is Ishmael making fun of Isaac. And what does she do? She goes straight to Abraham. She said, I want that boy and I want the mother out of here. And she was angry. And it upset Abraham. Remember, Hagar and Ishmael had returned back to her and she submitted herself to Sarah. But now, in Genesis 21, a little bit different story, Sarah says, I want her gone. And Abraham reluctantly provides for them and says, you're going to have to go. you're going to have to go. And so they journey out, the Bible says, into the wilderness of Beersheba. A little bit different story here. She gets out there, the water runs out. She has nothing to give her son. And I want to read here in that passage in Genesis 21, because the Lord prepares something for her. It says in verse 15 of chapter 21, "And the water was spent in the bottle, and she cast the child under one of the shrubs, and she went and sat her down over against him a good way off, as it were a bow shot, for she said, 'Let me not see the death of my child.' And she sat over against him and lifted up her voice and wept." It's very interesting that in the same passage, there's a well that becomes a problem between Abimelech and Abraham. As a matter of fact, we learned that Abraham had dug several wells around Beersheba. She journeys into that area, but she can't find water. She's crying out to God, and God says to her in verse 17, "And God heard the voice of the lad, and the angel of God called to Hagar out of heaven and said unto her, 'What aileth thee, Hagar? Fear not, for God hath heard the voice of the lad where he is. Arise, lift up the lad, and hold him in thine hand, for I will make him a great nation.' And God opened her eyes, and what does she see? In the wilderness." The Bible says, "And she saw a well of water, and she went and filled the bottle with water, and gave the lad drink. And God was with the lad, and he grew, and dwelt in the wilderness, and became an archer. And he dwelt in the wilderness of Paran, and his mother took him a wife out of the land of Egypt." Now here they are in the wilderness. Who takes care of Hagar and Ishmael? God did. God provided where? In the wilderness. When she opened her eyes, she's been weeping. She opens her eyes and there's a well there. Now, I don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us whether it was a miracle that God created a well right there or if it was one that Abraham had dug, because as you read on, there's a major conflict that takes place over a well near Beersheba. So it may have been the very same one. I don't know. But I do know this, she couldn't find it. And God opened her eyes where she saw so that her son could be spared and the boy grows up. You see, God did not hate Ishmael. God did not hate Hagar. God took care of them. God furnished a table where? In the wilderness. I think about, I was reading just recently in 1 Kings chapter 17 through 19 of the story of Elijah. You remember how he had the great victory on Mount Carmel and he defeated the prophets of Baal, killed them all. And then he sees a cloud the size of a man's hand and he takes off running to go tell Ahab and Jezebel that rain is coming. And as he's running, it lets loose. It's coming down, pouring down. After 3 years of drought, he gets to the house, and instead of getting a wonderful reception from Jezebel, what does he hear from her lips? "Tomorrow at this time, you're going to be just like the prophets of Baal. I'm going to kill you." So what does Elijah do? He does like what most preachers do. He runs, right? He gets away as fast as he can. You see, he misread the whole situation. He thought that Ahab and Jezebel would be happy about, first of all, the fact that the evil had been conquered, the false prophets were dead, God had spoken from heaven, he had brought water for him to use to pour on the altar, which was scarce, and God sent rain. But you see, the kingship of the land was in apostasy. And apostates are not happy with anything that God does. And so she threatens his life. He runs down and he learns some lessons there. But what does God do in the wilderness? While he's weeping, the Bible says, an angel tapped him on the shoulder. And he says, "Rise and what? Eat." And there was a fire and food and water. God had furnished a table in the wilderness. Now, don't you know that these stories had been told to the children of Israel? One before and one after, where God set a table and furnished it in the wilderness. We spoke about this last time, that at the table there's more than just food. We talked about the fellowship around the table and the time spent together as a family. But don't ever forget the fact that there's also food at the table. That's the purpose of the table, right? You don't gather at the table just to talk. You can go sit in the living room and do that. You've gathered there for food. And the point that's being made here in Psalm 78, as they looked to the heavens and they said, "Can God furnish a table?" They're mocking Him. They're saying, "God, you're not that good. You can't do everything you've said you will do," even though God had already done it. What does that tell us about the individual that says that? What does it tell us about a nation that says that? It means they're corrupt in heart because they can't see what's actually true. You know what? We have a dark cloud over the United States of America right now. Do you know that Finland, the director of the health ministry in Finland, came out today, and they're working on legislation to outlaw gender, what they're calling gender mutilization. What's become popular in the United States, if a child says they want to identify as a male, then we'll send them to surgery. We've got the medical world performing this in America, but in Finland they said this is not. It's gender, all right? It's gender misformed thinking, and they outgrow it. That's what the good doctor in Finland said. They outgrow it within 2 or 3 years. Why would you permanently change a male to a female, quote unquote, or a female to a male and permanently mutilate them? That's not good medical science. Immediately after this information was released today, you've got medical doctors, "Oh, this is a very ill-informed individual." No, he's speaking truth. But what are they calling truth? They're saying it's error. "Oh, that's not medical science." Oh, yes, it is. The children of Israel had been given from God manna from heaven. He had provided them. They wanted meat. He gave them meat in abundance. And they still questioned and said, "Can God furnish a table in the wilderness?" The question was not at all about God's ability. You know what the question was? Am I going to believe in God? That was the problem. They didn't want to believe in God. And the whole crux of Psalm 78, as you read through this, is that Israel has a massive heart problem. And I'm afraid that in the church today, we've got some serious heart problems. We think that we have to adapt to our world, when God says, "No, you follow me." "Oh, no, we got to adapt to the world. We got to dress like the world. We got to talk like the world. We got to act like the world." No, you don't. You see, you think that the wilderness is going to overwhelm you, so you adapt to the wilderness. And God says, "No, I'm going to furnish a table in the wilderness for you. You just follow me." But what a passage there, as Elijah is dealt with by God. Twice the angel taps him and says, "Rise from your sleep and eat." And then you know the whole account that takes place of how God walks him through the storm, but God's voice was not in it. And finally, a still small voice speaks from the earthquake and the noise. And God communicates to Elijah, "I'll take care of you." And where was he this whole time? In the wilderness. "I'll take care of you. I'll take care." And he did. He took care of him all right. God provided a chariot to ride down and take him up to heaven. You talk about being taken care of. He got a limousine ride to heaven. And I didn't even know that limousines could fly. But that one did. And he's an example. We only have two in Scripture of human beings that did not die on the earth. Elijah. And who is the other one? Enoch. He was not, for God took him. What a picture that we have there of God taking care of Elijah in the wilderness. Is this world a wilderness, folks? Boy, is it ever. God will take care of you. You have to rest in Him. You have to trust in Him. You got to stop adapting and taking more of the wilderness into your life. You're a fool to do that. You're a fool to do that. To bring the wilderness into your life. No! Just let God furnish the table in the wilderness and you trust in Him. But Israel didn't do that. And that whole passage there deals with Israel's main problem. They just could not believe in God. Where? In the wilderness. I trust tonight that you're believing in God, not just talk, but in actuality, trusting in the Lord for everything in this world. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for the testimony of Hagar and Ishmael and also Elijah and many others whom your word speaks of, John the Baptist, others who were in the wilderness and you took care of them. You provided for them. Lord, we are living in a wilderness, barren, rocky, hot. It's a world that is filthy with sin. And yet you're able for your children to furnish a table for them. Oh, the fellowship there. And the food, the provision. You take care of us. I pray, dear Father, that you might work in our hearts. We've become so acclimated to adapting, taking in a little bit more of the world, taking in a bit more of the world. How foolish when you just want us to sit at your table and not worry about the wilderness. Help us to grow up in Thee, Father, and become more dependent upon Thee every day we live here upon this earth. For I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Have a good evening.